Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
You want to start running? It doesn't look that hard, but it might be harder than you think. But really, it's not something that's that difficult. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing it and starting. And whether you have to work on your pace and run a little, then walk a little, then run a little, you have to kind of get to know your body and feel what it feels like, and then you can get going. My guest is Dr. Anthony Luke. He's director of primary care sports medicine. He is also, with his running medicine experience, he developed the multidisciplinary running injury prevention clinic at UCSF called Run Safe. Welcome to the show, Dr. Luke. So let's talk first about running basics. So once we started running and you hit that thing where you're breathing heavily, you start walking, then you run, then you walk, and you get to the point where you kind of like it. It doesn't seem like such torture. Do you like people to go on the sidewalk, on the road? Do you want them to go try and do it at a track, at a local school? Let's talk about the surfaces that we run on first.
Sure. No, thanks, Melanie. And I think the surface is really important for, certain styles of running. If you're going to be training for a road race, I think definitely, train on the surface that you're going to be running on. Trail running is really popular now. You might need to think about some different shoes. But, if you're training and you're going to be on a rough road, then you certainly want to train on that before you go for that race. I think if you do have knee problems or ankle problems, sometimes people like a softer surface, and a grass or dirt trail is much softer than, let's say, the sidewalk. And even running on the road's usually better than running on concrete on the sidewalk. So picking the right surface can be really important, especially if you have problems.
Is runner's high real?
Runner's high is real. I think that's what makes running almost addictive for some people. I think as you run long distance, your brain lets out endorphins, and that gives people a really positive sensation, and you definitely feel like you've gotten a great workout. And I have so many patients that once they get hooked on running, if they're not running, they're not happy people after.
Okay, so you definitely have to think about that runner's high. Know that it will come to you once you become a runner. Now let's talk about shoes. Running shoes have become a very technological, huge industry. So what running shoes do you like? You can mention names. I prefer Saucony.
Sure. Well, I think all the companies know the trends. Popular one is the minimal shoes, almost like very little support. It's always been very interesting working in sports medicine, following the trends over time. Certainly when shoes came out, there's a lot of cushioning support, and there's some people that think, is that a problem? Maybe it affects how we run. And that's where shoes are important, but running technique's also very important. So when you select a shoe, you want to first look at your foot type. Are you flat-footed? That usually, or what we call pronation, you often get a shoe with a little bit stability in there. And the most severe one, if you have really flat feet, is called motion control. So that's something that you want to look for when you're looking at the shoe store. But with all the support, that often adds weight to the shoe. So if you have a nice high arch or a reasonable looking arch, you don't necessarily need these heavy shoes. And so that's where people go for a neutral shoe, or they start liking the minimal type shoe. And the interesting thing about minimal shoes, it makes you almost run on the midfoot or the forefoot, which is the popular trend in running right now.
Now, what about injury prevention? This is your specialty. You start running, maybe you're wearing a good pair of shoes, your arch isn't bothering you too much, but all of a sudden you start to feel your shin or your knees. Knees, going to be a big one. Or maybe your gait is bad and so you feel your lower back. What do you do about those little aches and pains, Dr. Luke?
Right. Well, I always think the first thing is to identify the warning signs. I tell my runners, if you get pain like 2 hours after you finish a run and it's fairly significant, that'd be worrisome. If you ever see swelling in a joint, that's not a good sign. And then also, if it's just affecting your technique as you're going through your run, like you're favoring it, have to offload the leg, that might mean that your subtle pain is becoming more than just a nagging injury and might be coming into an overuse injury, which is so common in running.
So then what do you do about it? I mean, does stretching your quadriceps help with those knee pains? Do you need different shoes? I find that sometimes you just need an arch support and then the plantar fascia pain goes away or the top of your foot pain goes away. People have all these kinds of things.
Yeah, sure. There's so many little minor problems that go on. It's like maintaining your car. There's all so many little things you got to make sure you check up on and do your appropriate warm-up, do a good cool-down, do good stretching on all the major muscle groups. And good running books and websites have this kind of information. But also very important, strengthening exercises. Like if you're going to take away one thing, strengthening around the core and the hip muscles have been associated with reducing a lot of lower extremity injuries like knee and ankle problems. And it's just something that people don't really think about. Like I think a good cross-training or weight program at the gym, it's really important to introduce if you're pretty serious about your running and you're thinking about doing it long-term.
What do you think about treadmills now? Because, you know, maybe everybody can't run and you're not one of these hardcore people who can run in the wintertime. The roads are icy, you know, the trails are muddy and wet. So then there's treadmill. And the treadmills out there, again, like the shoes are pretty technological and they're pretty good surface and some of them have good bounce to them. So how do you decide which is better?
Sure. Well, I think definitely if it's really cold in the area of the country that you live, running inside's not too bad of an option during the wintertime. The surface is certainly slower. It's interesting that the technique of running is very similar on a treadmill as you are outside. It's just that the impact force is a lot different. And because the treadmill's moving, the motion feels a little bit different. But it's a great way to cross-train, especially if running outside is not a great option for you for a certain part of time. Or, again, as we talked about surface, we need a softer surface. Maybe you're rehabbing from an injury and you want to control your environment. A treadmill is a great way to go to get those miles in.
And what about cooling down? So you're running. Do you walk that last however long? And are we more interested in distance or the speed that you go?
Yeah, I think cool down is a really important thing. Like if people had the time to really just reduce their speed and then kind of slow down a little bit and then stop and do some of the longer stretches, like holding stretches on each major muscle group in the lower leg, like your calf and your hamstring for 30 seconds each time, that really prepares you for getting recovery and your next run. I think if you can kind of plan that and just spend a 5 or 10 extra minutes doing some light cool down and good stretches, that'll really help reduce some of the injuries that keep building up for some people.
And when people are beginning, Dr. Luke, we just have a minute left. Do you want people to worry about going fast or going far? Or neither?
Well, I think when you're a beginner, I think, you know, you don't want to jump too much. We have a 10% rule in sports medicine. Like, you don't want to go more than 10% further distance, or if you run by time, don't go more than 10% time longer running. And that goes with speed, too, because it's just physics. Force equals fast times acceleration, and then time is another factor that kind of leads to the stress that go on the body. So especially for beginner runners, start slow, build up gradually, enjoy your running, make sure there's no problems, and that'll kind of lead to more lifelong running.
And you can see more about Dr. Anthony Luke at irunsafe.com. You're listening to Radio MD, Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine. Right here, I'm Melanie Cole. Stay well.